absolutely delighted to have Tammy Gosnell in the studio. Hi, Tammy.
Hello, how are you today?
Excellent, thank you very much. And I'm very excited to have Tammy because she used to be a programmer here, but till about a year and a half ago. Must have been close to 4 years you were doing a program.
Yeah, I was close to the beginning. I'm feeling like old Arnie Schwarzenegger. I'm back.
Tammy did an incredible show called Clear Channel Detox, and really it was telling the truth. Basically, we're lied to left, right, and center. And Tammy took a subject and did incredible research on it and gave us the truth, you know, beyond what the we were being given. So a fabulous show, which is very hard to produce anywhere else. And so one of the last series of shows she did before she left COWS was just at the time of the Fukushima nuclear disaster. And she did an amazing series of shows, really just detailing the lies that we were being told, that it wasn't, you know, as bad as it was and everything's fine. And really she laid it out. And then a couple of weeks ago, all that news came out saying, yes, it is bad. And so Tammy has been vindicated that she, you know, a year and a half ago, she knew what was going on. And so I thought it'd be great to have her come back in and we can have an update, talk about what's going on. Because remember, it's 5,000 odd miles away, but the ocean is flowing towards us and the air currents are flowing towards us from there. So we are not immune. And the flora and fauna are in those currents. Let's say hello to Tammy, my guest here tonight. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, I am so glad to be back. And I'm really excited for the station, you know, getting geared up for new exciting news. I don't know if you're public with it yet.
Yeah, we're just sort of slowly, you know, we're basically looking to increase our broadcast range and power, and we are in the throes of doing that.
Truth is priceless.
Yes.
And real programmers playing real music that's not just the, you know, your five songs that you hear on, yep, you know, on Clear Channel Detox. I mean, not Detox, Clear Channel Stations, excuse me. It was the opposite when I had my show.
Well, indeed, that was your show. You purposefully called it that.
Yeah.
To throw a pie in the face of Clear Channel, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, and to reach out to those people who actually even know that Clear Channel does own most of our stations, right, out there, you know.
As I said, Tammy is here. We're going to talk about Fukushima and also the new direction she's been going. And she's intimated a bit about it in terms of sound healing. I take it that is the direction that you've taken your musical life.
I have. Well, you know, and I've brought the focus on just, you know, in sound with intention. I've brought that into songwriting as well. So, you know, taking my songwriting to a new level using these things that I've learned. But, you know, yeah, basically just using sound to raise vibration. You know, I've always gone by this notion. Albert Einstein posed it, and he said, we can't solve the problems that we've created with the same mindset that created them.
Right.
And what I realized that to be is a conscious effort of cultivating presence and balance in our lives. There's a blessing that has come to me through this Fukushima thing, and it's to realize that we can't go through life anymore with just half of a brain. The scientific side, the logical side, we see where this non-holistic, this fragmented thinking gets us.
Right.
And that's a blessing because we can all change that on an individual level. We don't have to wait for the collective we out there.
Exactly.
I found myself getting caught in, well, we have to do this and we have to do that. Well, when you say that, it's almost like, well, I'm going to wait for the we, right, and then I'll join in. So the
That's it. Yeah, the power of the individual.
Yeah. Yeah, so the thing about that is we can individually raise our consciousness. We can individually use tools like sound healing and yoga and breathing exercises. And it seems really counterintuitive, but at the same time, it's counterintuitive to our old way of thinking. Right. And that's all. Because changing this is going to also empower us. And I think one of the big issues and one of the major issues is control over our resources, local control over our resources, and control over how our power is generated.
Oh, yes.
And I think that it's out of control. I think that we've allowed a system to take place that really writes laws to protect corporations and their ability to extract our resources with no oversight whatsoever.
In fact, we still give them huge free dollars, billions of dollars.
Right, and then if they, you know, break the law, it's almost like we need to get back to a physical. It's almost like we're in a mental realm, and when they get in trouble by, you know, killing off live, wildlife or polluting water, they get a slap on the wrist that might be equivalent of $10 to what you and I have. Right. Like, oh, I just killed someone. Oh, here's $10. I feel so much better about myself now. And so taking that equation out of that, you know, not allowing that to happen. And I think that the only way we can do it, we can see now that the government and the corporations are almost, you know, they're holding hands and they're whistling and skipping down the road. and we're left with the real issues. And if we take it over at the local, that's the only way we can do it. The local level. I mean, honestly, and the local level, meaning individual level as well.
We have to take that responsibility now. It's got beyond the point where we can ignore it and turn the other way, basically.
Right. And well, you know, and we all know that our human nature is to, it's almost like we wait till a crisis.
Right.
You know, it's like, and on a smaller level, it's procrastination. And it's like a lot of us do our best work when we're under the gun.
Right.
And I hate to, you know, no pun intended, but I just talked to someone who's in the Boulder floods.
Yeah.
And the one thing that she said was, you know, as bad as it was, there was this air of everybody helping each other. And, you know, we heard that about 9/11, around 9/11 as well.
Right.
And it's like, well, if that's what it takes, I guess that's what it takes. But we can't do this much longer. We can't wait for crisis much longer. But this one, this is kind of the one where we're going to learn that lesson.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously crises always come up, but we know how to anticipate them. You know, we can mitigate, obviously, but we should learn.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to wait till it happens again, which don't get me started on the whole gun thing, but
it's a different show altogether. Exactly. And plus we could have a nice lively discussion about that.
And,
I did bring a petition in. Now, here's one of the things that we can do as far as like really with Fukushima right now. Japan doesn't have the resources to contain it.
Wow.
That's how bad it is.
And that is bad at one of the top five countries in the world, and they can't handle it.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is, well, they don't know what they're doing. So they brought in some Russian experts from Chernobyl, you know, the Chernobyl thing, right?
Pour concrete on it.
Right. Yeah, well, that's different because Chernobyl wasn't sitting on the ocean. So, I mean, they can bring those people in, but, you know, honestly, I think it's going to take the whole world. And so there's a petition, and it's the best we can do right now to petition the UN and Obama to mobilize the scientific community and engineering community to take charge at Fukushima. We need that.
Yeah.
We need international attention on this, like now. Experts say 85 times as much cesium on site as was at Chernobyl right now.
Oh my goodness.
Right now.
85, wow.
Yes, and also the breaking news on that is the cesium-134, that level, is 90 to 110 times higher than all the previous readings. So right now is worse than when it exploded.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's go back. I'm sorry to say it. People have a short memory. obviously it most probably wouldn't have happened, of course, without the devastating earthquake and tsunami that that hit Japan off the coast. And we'll take it from there. What happened to the Fukushima plant?
Right. Well, they have actually, like, I think it's four or five actual buildings. And I think three of them were damaged, a fourth exploded subsequently. So then the nuclear rods, and this is all layman, of course, I'm obviously not an expert, but what I can take from it is that the rods were damaged. They started to leak into the bottom of the pools. The water was leaking out because of the earthquake.
That so there's cracks in the structure.
What they do is they use water to keep the rods cool. And so once that started to leak out, then that's when they had the issues. The rods started to get really hot. And so what we have is the rods melting, actually melting the floor, the ground, and then eventually ending up in the groundwater, which they denied up until now.
And this is the high plutonium, uranium rods that have done this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at this point, so that's basically, I mean, what happened then is basically it's been that way ever since. And I think one of the things that not a lot of people know, and I've found this through talking to my friends and people out there, is that they've been incinerating their radioactive waste from the tsunami.
Hmm.
And honestly, I think when you do something like that, you have to ask for permission from the entire world. Because in fact, what they're doing then, and it's not even really bothering them, because most of the wind travels towards us.
Towards us.
So, in fact, what they've been saying now is that we have higher levels on our western seaboard than some of the levels over there. On their
really,
yeah,
in
down
Japan,
like
even.
South southern Japan, yeah, it's up north or you know near Fukushima. That area is obviously the hottest spot. But then we have now we have Alaska to think about, because Alaska is actually getting more of that.
Eddying up into
it's an eddy, and it's more concentrated than our. The one that's hitting us, you know, it's coming like this around in a big circle, and then Alaska is getting it like all at once. And they said they found it in the salmon now.
Oh dear.
The ocean salmon in Alaska. And then also there's been readings now off of our coast that the tuna has been found on our west coast with high levels
so
of
radiation.
So it's
moving up the chain.
It's moving up the chain and moving over to our neck of the woods. And also
well, this all started, literally only a few days after it occurred, it started coming over, didn't it? I mean,
yeah, well, in the air.
Yeah, in the air.
Yeah. So this one now is where we're experiencing the ocean.
And the
currents.
Ocean coming through.
But the air was almost immediate. It was within days. And we were getting high levels, not only on the West Coast, in the Midwest.
Mm.
And even some places on the East Coast. And we have places in Michigan that are really hot, have been hot recently, within the last 6 months.
Whoa. And well, it's a news blackout, let's face it.
Yeah. It's hard when the news cycle goes so fast these days for people to actually even grasp a concept and to think about it with their full capacity, because we have so many things. And the Syria thing, it's almost like, well, hey, maybe Obama could. Obviously, he's having an issue with his with his image. So yes. Maybe if enough of us petition, maybe he will drop this Syria thing. Maybe he will drop this Iran thing. Thank you. And maybe, just maybe, he'll use this. I don't care if he uses it for his image. If he has to, that's fine. But he needs to step up and say, hey, if I was the president of this country, I would be talking to the American public once a week about this issue.
Yeah.
Because it's more dire. It's extremely more dire than, and I dare say it, but us using Al-Qaeda to poison Syrians and blaming it on Assad so that we can go in there and take their resources.
Really? Well, the effects that we should know about because of the radiation coming this way from Fukushima. Do you have any of your sound healing music
I do. Ready? We can plug it right in. This is actually, I played this. We had a Sound of Love concert in San Francisco at the Congregation Sharith.
Oh,
and
yes.
Beautiful, beautiful temple.
Yeah, in California there.
And I actually played this song. This is the first song that I wrote with songwriting in mind and also sound healing. So at the end, I bring in overtone singing and do it that way. So there was, you could hear a pin drop in this. So this is a really good recording. It's live. It's about 7 minutes long. So we'll see if we can handle that. Okay. Is there people with ADD out there? you might want to pick up something to do with your hands while you're listening to this, or turn on the TV so you can have something to watch while it's happening. I don't know. Okay. So yeah, if you're ready.
Thank you, Tammy. Tammy goes now. yes. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you for letting me play my music on the radio.
Indeed. Well, that was a live performance you did then at Temple Sherith Israel?
Yeah, Congregation Sherith, yes. And beautiful, beautiful temple there. And yeah, the sounds just soar up into that spire.
Mm. Now, when you do performances, then the place really changes your performance then because of that.
Oh, yes. It was the first time I've actually played in a place where I could pull away from the microphone and still get that reverb, you know? I mean, those places are made with the specific intention of making the human voice soar like that. So I was really excited to be, you know, that building used sacred geometry. It was one of the last buildings built in San Francisco using that method.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's been there a long time, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go back to the music again. We should get back to Fukushima before we get onto the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. That was a nice taster for everyone. Wow, what a new direction. Your direction, well, it was incredible. Musicianship, singing, you know, guitar, you know, great modern songs. You reached a point where you felt, you know, you had to make a change from that.
Yeah, you know, and I think I can look at it as like a fractal pattern that emerges, and it is emerging outside of me and inside of me, and realizing that I was really good at identifying problems. And I did that with all my music. All my music identifies the problems really well. But I decided that I know that, you know, when we... Words are powerful. Words and music are even more powerful. I mean...
Right.
People places of power know this. Hitler knew that well.
Right.
So I've decided to... And it doesn't mean that I'm not going to write another song that identifies problems, because there will always be something that you have to identify so that you can move through it to move forward. There's this idea that, you know, if we just don't even think about the problems, they'll go away.
Okay.
But it's a way that informs us on how to make our next steps forward. So it's interesting. You know, the past does inform us in a way. We don't want to hold on to it. We don't want to be stuck in it.
Right.
But
learn from it.
Yes.
You know, learn the good stuff.
Yeah. So I decided to just take this new consciousness that I hold and to translate it into music. And I feel that I've taken definitely a step.
Yeah.
A clear step away from what I used to do, but also it's kind of like how I view our evolution, which is what's coming is we're going to take some of the things from our past, our ancient ways. We're going to take from that our tradition and our traditions. We're going to also take from the ways that we live now, from some of them, and that's going to create the new way, the integrated, the whole,
right,
the wholeness that we're looking for. So to get back to Fukushima, and I think that this is also a fractal of what I'm talking about, is that we can see what happens when our consciousness is in fact broken. It's in half. We're using half of our mind as a collective to move forward in the way that our hearts know, but we're kind of leaving our hearts. We're going to put them in the suitcase and say, come on, let's go.
Yeah, we'll bring you out later when we figure things out.
Yeah, when everything's perfect. When everything is ready for us to be whole, then we can. So I'm learning that it's kind of the opposite. I just wanted to bring up a few things about it so we can just get our minds around what we're looking at. The ocean spray. Now, there's not as much in the air as there was during the initial explosions, but the ocean is now carrying the high levels. And the ocean spray actually makes it about 300 kilometers inland.
So just literally the waves breaking on the shores go up in the air, and that carries with it the radioactivity?
Yes, and so... That alone, and this is just besides all the stuff that's in the area, which are, you know, they're lower than they were at the initial explosion, but our readings are there, who even knows what the readings are? This is what I'm saying. I mean, right. Monitor systems, the EPA is shutting down monitoring systems left and right. And I'm wondering why. Huh. It's almost like, oh, no, nothing to see here, folks. So we have this 300-kilometer ocean spray that's able to get in, and it will actually make those radioactive particles mobile, and they will get in. So we have that. But we have the Japanese Prime Minister calling for a full decommission of Fukushima now. Mm. So even though all 50 of the nuclear plants in Japan have been shut down, there is talk of them maybe reopening once they, you know, get their...
Make them
safer. Oh, and speaking of safe, they decided to call the Olympics... The safe games.
Oh, no.
In Japan.
Oh, no.
It's almost like a big joke. I just don't even understand. So the safe games, we're going there.
it's just hilarious.
it's just the same lines as, you know, the Patriot Act.
Exactly.
You know, which takes away your rights. How patriotic is that? So, you know, we have these few issues, and... something that I went over in my show before when I was still on the air was the food that we eat. A lot of the food that concentrates it the most is animal products.
Mm.
So if you can think of that as one way of protecting yourself is really staying to a minimum with animal products, the milk especially. Milk tends to, because they're eating the grass, and then it starts to... you know, more and more. I can't even think of the word. Concentrated. Yes, okay. Thank you very much. So it starts to concentrate. And then the milk, I mean, they have milk that still shows up, strontium and other things from Chernobyl today.
Whoa.
In Eastern Europe.
Stream coming with that.
Yeah. Wow. So that's how bad or extreme that this is. Some of these isotopes have a half-life of 24,000 years.
Mm.
That's a long time.
That's quite a life, yeah. That's just half the life.
Yeah, that's just half of the life. I just keep going back to this in my mind, how we got to the place of using radioactive materials that they know they can't get rid of.
Right.
To boil water to make steam to power a town or a city. And all I can really come up with is that we've, this system that I keep coming back to, that we have allowed ourselves to become a part of, makes things overcomplicated so that the system can continue to have control over it.
Right.
Because if we have a simple way of generating energy that people can understand, then we don't have these issues. Because we're now in the hands of the people that created the problem.
Exactly. And they're not interested in fixing it.
No, they're really not. They're interested in their image, which is hilarious, because once your country's gone and your people are dying, your image really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unless you're vain and you carry a mirror around.
Right.
So I guess I just wanted to get into some things that we can do just quickly. I want to reiterate what I did on my show back in 2011, which is about the foods that we can eat that are really good for removing radioactive, you know, particles from our body. And, you know, unfortunately, the kelp from the Western Seaboard now has been found with radiation in it as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, that's huge.
It is huge. Cool. And so the kelp now is going to have to be sourced, but it is really, really good for that. They did tests on people that had been through Hiroshima and found that the people who ate more kelp actually had lower levels of cancer. The survival rate was higher with people eating a plant-based diet. So I do recommend, and other, obviously I'm not the one recommending it, but what I found is it's common among many experts in nutrition, Icelandic kelp, you know, kelp, any kelp that's sourced from a place right now that doesn't have this issue. Also cilantro.
Mm.
I never even thought of cilantro, but I guess if you're really wanting to detoxify heavy metals and things from your body, juicing cilantro for 2 weeks Now, that's a lot of cilantro, but if you can handle it, juicing it for 2 weeks straight is supposed to really do a really good cleanse on you and carry those out.
Okay.
Also, zeolites, which is minerals from volcanic ash.
Hmm.
They've actually used those to filter out the physical water.
Okay,
so,
literally the
right,
the
but
water filter.
You can ingest zeolites as well. And I actually have a bottle that I take zeolites every once in a while just to, you know, keep that stuff moving out. What they do is they kind of bind to it in a way,
okay,
and kind of put the radioactive particles in a cage and then carry it out through your excrement or whatever.
Well, where... You know, when we get it by, obviously, by the air, we breathe it in or eat it in or drink it in. Where does the radiation lodge? Where do those particles go? And then how is that secreted out?
Right. Usually they lodge just like any other toxins will, usually in their stored fat or... And then some of the other... See, it's hard to say definitively what they all do, because, I mean, what it does as a whole, because each particle, like the strontium, does its own thing. It goes to the bones. So, I mean, that's really hardcore.
Wow.
And then we have some of the other ones, like I think maybe cesium, you know, lodges in the more soft tissue. So they do all sorts of different things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the main thing is, and you know, people beat cancer all the time. But right. But the only way that they do that, not the only way, I can't say that. There's no definitives here. But a large part of how they do this is changing their diet, removing sugars completely, changing to a plant-based diet, and, you know, refined flours and all those things that turn into sugar alcohol. Because sugar, they have found, is what feeds cancer.
Really?
So... Almost in a way, if you think of it as you're eating a diet to get rid of cancer, but yet you're actually eating a diet to prevent it, you know, which is a new way to think of things for us.
Exactly.
Not waiting until we have cancer.
Yeah. The magic pill thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we have these things. So they'll help. Now, also vitamin C. They found that even with some of the workers who were going in, they were getting vitamin C intravenously, and it was lowering their levels extremely. So, and you know, there's, I can't remember her name right now, but she was a doctor I was sourcing a lot, and she was talking about how vitamin C intravenously actually cures cancer as well once you have it.
So the Linus Pauling really going beyond his work even.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we have these things, like I said, you know, really the milk from the cows and the goats, don't forget, and the sheep's milk and all that. It behooves us to have our local products tested and to do it on a regular basis. And there's, you know, I know there's people that may be listening right now who own a small farm, and maybe you want to check your product, and I hate to say it, but if you have radiation in your product, maybe telling people about it and then letting them make the decision on their own. I mean, that's kind of the consciousness that we're looking for here, is the things when we know something's wrong is to say it.
But then really the trouble is then you've got to run it up the chain in terms of, hey, we've got radiation in our organic food here. There's big problems going on.
Yeah.
We need to deal with them as a country.
Mm-hmm.
So many ramifications. Well, pretty heavy. Should we play some more music of yours?
Okay, so here is another one. And this is at the end of my last album that I actually never even finished. It was called The New Paradigm. It's finished. It's just not mastered and it's not set out. I had an issue. I was having a real issue with what I was saying in the world. But I've realized at this point that there's people who they want to hear this stuff, because everybody's on their own level in their journey. Everybody's at their own pace. And
right.
This song's called The New Paradigm. It's the title track. No, actually, I was going to play Waves. This is the song that's at the end of the disc, which actually started me on this new path.
Oh.
So this song is called Waves. It's another piano song. I actually have a man named George Lopez who's playing the cello on it with me. And that's basically it. I went into the studio and basically just let this whole song run through me. The recording of the piano is just the first take. It was the first take, me alone in the studio. And then we got George in there, and the timing's off on the piano because it was channeled. There is no meter on this piano. Great. So the cello player was like, this is off. And I said, that's my point, to not have you here and just have you channel your part too. So it was almost like this collective just, oh, what does this feel like? So it's a lot about inspiration, where inspiration comes from. And actually, I just realized that I wrote this, and some of what I say in the middle of this song has to do with Fukushima when it first happened. That's amazing. Okay, so here it is, and it's called Waves.
Where is my heart?
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Tammy. Beautiful work. That is just just lovely.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I realized once we put that on, in my haste, I picked waves, and that I actually did write some of those words about Fukushima. It was the line, "Men in suits are lying while our ocean is dying, and there's nothing I can do but speak the truth." And that's how I felt at the time. But now I can add to that line, which is, there's nothing I can do but speak the truth and pray for you. Because it's really important to have our mindsets be positive and to send loving, healing energy to those waters. Masaru Emoto did work with Messages in the Water. That's a book that he wrote. And he talks about how you can actually code water with your thoughts. You could place, write "I love you" on the water, and it changed the molecular structure to this beautiful geometric pattern. And then on the flip side, water that's been microwaved, the molecular structure of that, and this is under a microscope, is it's grotesque looking. And then even, "I hate you" makes it grotesque and asymmetrical. And it's nothing like that beautiful sacred geometry that comes out of those peaceful words and those "I love yous." And one thing that Emoto did after the Fukushima disaster began, we'll say that, was that he sent out a letter to people saying, emails, obviously, saying to pray to the waters of Fukushima. "To the waters of Fukushima, we are sorry we have hurt you. Please forgive us. We love you and we thank you." And so there's blessings in this. It's hard to identify blessings when you're in the middle of the problem, when you're in the middle of a crisis. But I think at this point, we don't have time to wait till it's over to identify the blessings. I think one of the blessings is there's nuclear shutdowns happening. Japan is 100% nuke-free right now, and they still have power. Right. That's the proof right there. We can do it without. Yeah. Yeah. Vermont had a shutdown, and they had their facility was shut down, and it was directly related with Fukushima because that facility was actually built by the same people.
Oh, really?
And in the same way. So they just completely shut that one down as well. So there are blessings. Realizing that we can't live this fragmented life anymore is a blessing, because living a fragmented life contributes to, I hate to say it, but probably all of our problems. When we're more holistic, we give time for things to happen. We don't force everything. We aren't totally aggressive. We let our dreams and our feelings inform our ideas and our actions instead of just what our mind comes up with, devoid of our heart. So there is hope for us, but I think that it lies in our individual willingness to live balanced lives, to raise our consciousness, also to stand our ground and use our boundary, which is also a part of wholeness. Our boundary and where we live and our resources, we have got to take control of them where we live. It's the only way. People in Japan, I'm sure if they had known what could have happened, all the details, they would have said no.
Right.
And if people here knew what is happening, we would say no. We would say shut down all of our nuclear plants right now, too.
Exactly.
No, but it gets hard because you start to make these blanket assumptions about the whole country, and we can't focus on the whole country anymore. It's out of control. Right. It's too big. The bureaucracy is too big. The governments are too big. The corporations have too much money, too much power. At our local level, we can do this.
Right, yeah, that upper level, the inertia is so huge and would take such energy and power and money to make any change in any way, shape, or form.
And time. Mean, when I think about, for example, in the 90s, the PNAC document, the Project for a New American Century, and how they laid out their plans and how they said where they had to destabilize the Middle East for us to continue our hegemony, really, and saying that without a Pearl Harbor type event, these things would take way longer to happen. And then we had 9/11. But that was in the 90s, and now they're just finally getting to Syria. Fortunately for us, they've had to slow their plans down significantly. But think of that. These people who are making these plans, this is their job.
Right.
They don't take days off from this. So there's got to be us, those of us out here who are, and it's almost like Bob Marley said, you know, those people don't take a day off. We have to light it up.
Yeah.
We have to light it up.
Yeah, because they're still in their Cold War, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. it's something that's unreal.
Yeah.
Now, but they're in it still.
Well, and the Cold War is getting hot now with Putin and, you know, but see, the jig's up. I think everything's happening right now that, I mean, even people are, we didn't wait to go into Syria. We had people calling their representatives. There was one representative from, I think it was maybe Kentucky, who said 1,000 constituents called and 10 of them were for the Syria war.
Wow.
That nobody called like that before Iraq.
Yeah,
so things are changing. And if the jig's up like that for people and they're like, we see this. I mean, North Korea is saying, let's have peace talks. Iran's on the bus now.
Right,
we want to talk with you guys too. We'd much rather talk. And the jig's up now because we never wanted to talk.
Right.
In the PNAC document, it says we never wanted to talk.
You've got to have the enemies there.
Yeah. Right. So the jig's up here. And I think this gives us a chance to start steering it with just calling. That's the thing. You got to call your representatives. You can't call the president.
Right.
And you can talk about it all you want, but it's calling our representatives and telling them what's happening. And that trickles out at some level. It is helping.
You have to put that energy out there to them. Yeah, I know. And it doesn't matter who, you know, any age, whatever, you send stuff out there. I know when I've interviewed people with different organizations, some of their greatest supporters are literally 9, 10, 11-year-old kids who are getting on the internet and sending emails to their senators and representatives. There's amazing power there.
Yeah. I think it is there. So we have all these different fronts. You can pick your battles, but I think the one main idea that is really informing me right now is the raising the consciousness. And you know, there's ways to do that. Do things that make you happy. That's one of them. I mean, that's simple. You can also use tools like how I've been using sound intentionally to raise my vibration and facilitating circles for our people to do that. And it's creating community and it's creating this unity that we all strive for. I mean, it's almost like why people go to baseball games and why people watch the Super Bowl together. It's because we really we do have that sense of community in our hearts. And so raising our consciousness in that kind of group setting, even, I mean, it sends people on new possibilities. That's what happens when we raise our consciousness. We have new possibilities. So
exactly.
To go back with Albert Einstein saying that we can't solve the problems with the same mindset that caused them. This is where we're at now. If we don't clean this up, that's all we have left.
Right.
And unfortunately, there's a lot out there already that's it's not going to be cleaned up per se. But we can remind water through our prayers what it really is. And there's been people doing work, the energetics of water. It's worth looking up. want to tell people out there to really look into that and think about it. And there's all sorts of, like, you can watch YouTube videos that have sound healing in them that you can just listen to, put headphones in, and it helps you to, it's almost like a centering as well. We use our chakras, we bring awareness to them, we vibrate them with our sound, with our voice. And I found it's just so powerful of an experience, and it's something that you can't deny.
Right.
Everybody loves music. And because it elicits these emotions in us, you know, a part of us that a lot of society says it's bad to have emotions. And we have people taking pharmaceuticals at record numbers right now because they think that their emotions are their problem.
Right.
It's the dampening of the emotions that's the problem.
Yeah. your works turned in. Maybe explain the channeling of how your work goes now. How did that come about, and how do you do that?
Well, it's interesting because I've done a lot of work. I need to plug my school, Globe Institute. It's Sound Healing Center or Sound and Consciousness Center. He has like three different names for it, but soundhealingcenter.com. And I learned from teachers there how to raise my consciousness, really. And a lot of it had to do with emotional release. Identifying tensions and problems in my own body, in my own mind, and then grieving those and moving through them. So it's interesting that one thing that can raise our consciousness is actually delving into the darkness and the shadow.
So don't run from it.
Yeah, because that's inevitable. That's really what's happening with Fukushima right now. We're running from it, and it doesn't go away. So that was one of the things how I learned to start to raise my consciousness, become more whole, and know that the dark and the light have a place in me. I think in the spiritual community, people get hung up on the solemn, sacred, and everything's about the light. But wholeness is my definition of the light, and it includes the dark as well. Now we have something totally devoid of light and dark, and that's evil, and that's the lies, and that's the media, and that's this whole life that's been created through the television that's not even real. So what we have to be really careful of is our ingestion of that and those ideas, because it is incessant propaganda. So what I spent time doing was learning from teachers who had already done that. You know, you teach what you know. And in this field, it's very interesting. You get things that people know that you're like, how do you know that? Like where the chakra points are. I mean, even that, I thought, how do these people know this? Well, it's through experience. And it's through self-awareness. And then I had a teacher, and I'm going to plug her right now. Her name is Silvina Vergara, and she still teaches at the school. And
where is the school?
It's in San Francisco. And on 9th and Harrison right now. He moved. It's a really nice building, and he also has a store where you can buy crystal bowls and all sorts of that. So that's really good for, you know, people who want to do the work on their own. But she teaches at the school, and she did the first crystal bowl meditation that I was ever a part of. And she channeled, she let the voice come through. And what it is basically is she's opening herself up. She is not the healer. See, that's the thing. We're not doing the healing. What's happening is we are creating a sound field that amplifies the person or the group's sacred intentions. It puts power. It's almost like a power amp for your music. It's what powers it and gives it more power and more energy. So what happened? She opens up this sound field. She just brings in, she just lets her intuition and her higher guides and her spirit in the spirit realm to inform what those sounds are, creates a sound field so that people can do their own work. So it's a different way of thinking of healing. You don't go somewhere and someone does something to you.
Right.
It's a partnership. She does this, but now I do it as well. I create a sound field with the bowl and my voice, and sometimes rattles. It just depends. We have all sort of different reasons why we use them. Rattles are good for breaking up stuck energy. The crystal bowls are good for focusing intent because they're a pure tone, and it's really powerful. So we create this sound field. People can work with us. And it's basically, really, if you're the client and you come in, it's in your hands how far it goes. Because a lot of people are scared of where they might go. So they're, but it takes a while. But even with the most stubborn of people, that sound, it's the language of the universe. You don't have to have words. It's not like therapy where we talk it all out. There is words. Words are a part of sound. But also, silence is also a part of sound. And listening. That was one thing that I learned about sound and how powerful it can be, is listening is a part. Our ears are the only real only receiving. That's all they do is receive.
Right.
And in order to be a whole conscious person, you have to use that listening. It's not just hearing, it's listening and being present. So all those things kind of came together, and over the years, and I'm back in school. Well, I actually just finished another semester, which was interesting. Going back after 5 years, just delving back in and getting more of an idea. And I think this time the class was all about making those connections with people who want to do the same thing. So now I'm at this place where I'm making partnerships and collectives, and we're wanting to do this work on a more of a big scale, but still locally.
Yes.
And I just really want to get the community involved with itself. And it's a great way to do that. Brings people together. Music is a healer.
Right. Especially because it comes through it's not being given to everybody. It's coming through the individual and then spreading to the group, the community.
Right. And that's a part of bringing some of our ancient traditions back to form this new way. Because before the Reformation, I mean, a few hundred years back, I guess, before that, there was a thing called carnival where people got together and everybody performed, and they started to put the kibosh on that because the leaders realized that when the people were performing, they were making fun of the people at the top. And it was really good for the people. They were really feeling good. And it reminds me of the April Fool's parade here, the Fool's Day parade here. It has that air to it, that carnival sense, where people come and they're the performers too, and everybody joins in, that kind of thing. After the Reformation, it just became, here's the performer and you are you receive the sound. So I feel that's a really big, it's an important part of our journey, is to bring that part back.
Yes.
And to not just let people do the thing and we just ingest it. Here we are now, entertain us. Kurt Cobain said it really well. And I think that he felt that same way, that it was almost asinine. For these people just to be standing there, here we are now, entertain us. Like I feel like he wanted people to sing back too.
That feeling.
So I really think that that's a part of it. So that's the direction I've taken. I feel the effects of what we're doing inside of me. And when we know we're just a fractal of nature, I mean, everything that happens outside of us has a place inside of us, and you can usually see the correlation. So the feelings that I feel inside myself, the way I feel today, the way I react to things has really changed. And I can own it to having a practice of consciously using sound to create this new way. I would like to say, if anybody has any questions and they want to know more, or if they want to do a sound circle, I've been facilitating around the area. My email address is tgosnell@tammygosnell.com. Really easy to remember. If you forget, just Google me. It'll come right up. Right. Tammy Gosnell, TammyGosnell. So if you have any questions, tgosnell@tammygosnell.com. I would love to, get you in on a circle and let's take the new step together.
Nice. Sounds fabulous. Would you like to play something else? It's so lovely. I would really would love to hear something more.
I can give a sample. Let's do this. Okay. We'll do a small sample of what I do. I bought a sound massage table and I play recordings. It's a massage table with speakers embedded in it, subwoofers. So I'm taking sound and song to a new level here, and I'm placing the sound inside of your body. Every cell vibrates with this sound. I mean, to where you can palpably, it's a visceral experience. Your body is vibrating.
It's like the speaker itself.
Right, So this is a piece, and it's called Sound Support for Relaxation and Healing. So, and I'm doing a chakra tune-up on this. Disclaimer. Oh, I feel relaxed. I hope that if you were out there, you either put some headphones on. You definitely stopped driving if you could hear us. I don't want to get angry emails about how relaxed you got when you were on the 101.
I mean, tell us about really all the things that it really connects with.
Well, one thing I did want to get to that I know I can get this in. One thing about, so our information that we're gathering, I want to let you know what my sources are so that you don't have to spend a lot of time finding it out. How about Infowars.com? That's great. Everybody's not right 100% of the time, but Infowars.com is great. RT.com, which is RussiaToday.com, NaturalNews.com, GlobalResearch.ca, EnviroReporter.com. These are the sources that I use to find out what's happening out there so that I can reform my consciousness to help overcome it. So just one more time, Infowars.com. It's a beautiful site. They mire through the stuff so you don't have to. RT.com, once again, really great. They have a nice YouTube channel. NaturalNews.com, that is the place that I go for all the health information, and that's where I get a lot of my information. Of course, they source their information from experts, and they show all of their sources too. So you can rest assured that you're getting something that has at least a semblance of truth to it. NaturalNews.com, that's where I get my information about the foods to eat and that sort of thing. Global Research has done a really good job. GlobalResearch.ca, like I said, EnviroReporter.com, really good with the levels in the air and in the water. They really do a good job at bringing all that together. And then people who have been really good, Chris Busby, Google him. He's a really great resource for this. And also Arnie Gunderson. He's a really great resource. He was in the nuclear industry for 40 years, so he's definitely an expert. And he's on the side of the people, not the side of governments keeping their image intact. So, but yeah, so I just want to throw that in there. That's what I forgot about what we were talking about earlier. But yeah, so exactly. what we just heard, this sound support for relaxation and healing, that's a chakra tune-up. That is basically, and I embedded an 8 hertz frequency in that. And there was, there's research done that this frequency, this 8 hertz, is found in healers' hands when they're doing work, massage therapists and people doing Reiki. So what I did, I took sine waves and I generated two sounds very close to each other that create a binaural beat that kind of goes whoa, 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 whoa in your head. And it creates a brainwave state. It's a theta brainwave state that actually entrains you. And the actual brainwave state is great for healing, but also almost an awakened, relaxed state where you can identify more, become more self-aware.
Okay.
And then use that to take your leap in consciousness, your ascension process, the thing that you thought was going to happen in one day in 2012. It kind of takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of attention and a little bit of focus and some presence, you know.
Exactly.
But it's easy. It's simple. It's not easy, but it is free. All you have to do is pay attention.
Yes, we've all got it. Nobody has to pay any price of admission apart from being a human being.
Really. And some would say that's a hard price to pay, especially someone just coming back from children being born. I don't know. I just had to squeeze my gigantic existence into this tiny little body. It was difficult. We made it through.
Indeed. Worth the effort. Well, it's wonderful, Tammy. What incredible work you're doing, and great music. I love the new direction you've changed. It's such heartfelt music and sounds. Incredible. I really am. I was moved by the work you're doing. Keep it up. And obviously it's working. As you say, the emotion. I mean, that's it. At that moment, you're a performer, or which way the energy is flowing, you were flowing deep emotions to those people in that audience.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful thing on both ways, not just for them.
Right. You know, and I like to call it heart technology. Mm. And you know, what I tell people in my sound circles that I facilitate is that, you know, my point here is to get the heart, the voice, and the mind working together. The most powerful technology, believe it or not, still, and for a very long time to come, the most powerful technology on this planet is the heart. The technology of the heart. And we know that. I was just talking at the break, or when you got that call, or whenever, about how they had an experiment where people prayed for Washington, D.C., and they did it over a three-day period, and the crime rate dropped dramatically. And I was telling Arnaldo, I said, my only question, well, great job, guys. My only question is, why did you stop? That stuff happens. It's proof in the pudding that it works. So, I mean, if we can get over ourselves and the things we've been told throughout our lives about, you know, how we're meaningless and we're small and insignificant and we can't make a change, we really can. And sometimes it takes that change on the inside. Be the change you want to see in the world. I mean, Gandhi said it, and it's true. Be the change you want to see in the world, because really, that's all we have left at this point.
Really is. Mm-hmm. Don't feel powerless out there. We have the power.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that.
Cows is an example of that. When people get together and take control of their lives, it works. It happens.
I'm very excited that Tammy's come in, and that she may consider maybe coming back to a show on cows. That would be very exciting.
Yeah, I think going along with the lines of what we're saying today, yeah. You know, I had a wonderful time. I mean, I won't. Okay, that's not the way to put it. Really, honestly, let's get real here. It was a very fulfilling time for me, and identifying problems and getting the truth out there to folks, because I thought that was very important. I think if I do come back, it'll be a little more on the tip of what I'm doing now, which is we can still identify the problems. We don't want to spend our whole time on it. What we want to do is identify the problems and then identify the blessing and the lesson from those problems, and then we can start to change our perspective and come up with some new things, new possibilities, yes. New dreams even.
You know? Put the healing to those problems. Yeah, yes. That's it. It's applying the healing to them, isn't
yes.
it?
And you know, my teacher said that one of her definitions of healing is becoming whole.
Mm.
So, and one thing I brought in too, just a little snippet, is piano. You know, teaching our children music and piano is one of those instruments that gets our left, our both sides of our brains working together. Mm. Because our right brain governs our left side of our body, and our left brain governs our right side of our body, something beautiful happens when we teach children piano. So I know some people had a really bad childhood and their parents were slapping their wrist, learn that piano. But there was a good reason for that, because it lights up that corpus callosum in the center of the brain and actually cultivates wholeness.
Mm.
And that's why I get quite irate when I hear people in positions of power saying, well, they're just a musician. Why would you listen to them about politics? Oh, yeah. Well, there is a reason why. And it's because a lot of musicians actually use both sides of their brains. It's kind of a side effect. We didn't really mean to.
But it opens the window to both.
Right. Yeah. You know, some people play music to get completely out of their mind, but the side effect that we weren't really going for really happened. We became more whole human beings. So I think that keeping that in mind, you know, music really does make a difference. And to maybe just put that on the back burner for when you have kids, or if you have them now. And I guess it's most effective up to the age of 6. And then after that, it kind of goes down off from there. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So, it's never too late, but start them early.
Start now. Start now. You can wait, but no, not now. Now. Start now.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for coming in, and great information on Fukushima, wonderful music, very talented, keep up the incredible work. And do you want to give out your information so people can check you out and...
Yeah, I will, actually. And I just want to say thank you. You personally, because you've always been so supportive of my show. You were one of the people who kept me going when I wanted to quit, when I thought no one was out there listening and I'm doing all this work. And then one day I remember I said, I'm going to quit. And you called that day and telling me how good the show was. I said, well, damn it, one person listened. I have to keep going. So I just want to thank you personally and for having me in. I really appreciate that. And as far as my info, I gave out my email before. I'll give it to you once again. It's tgosnell@tammygosnell.com. That's my own website. Hasn't really been updated. I've spent quite a bit of time away from the computer since my show, so I apologize for that. But you can email me if you have any questions about sound circles or one-on-one sound table sessions. I'm doing that locally now. Also, anything. I'm starting a community choir as well that's heart-centered. And when I get back from Nashville in about January, then we'll really start gearing up with a choir.
Oh, so, now that's exciting.
That is exciting. I want to get that into people's minds if they're interested. You don't have to be a singer. You just have to have a heart. So, and I think pretty most people around here have those.
from what I've heard.
So I'm excited to announce that. Yeah. Also, if you want to just go to my website, you can do that as well. And it's tammygosnell.com. TammyGosnell.com. And give me some feedback. Come listen to some songs. I've got some of my, I don't want to call it old material because it's new to you. And also, you know, like I said, there's something for everybody on my website and I will be updating that with new material. And also if you get on my mailing list, you can see where I'm performing next and or where the next sound circle is going to be or choir performance. So please visit me there, tammygosnell.com.
I'm definitely going to be watching for that. That does sound exciting.
Be listening as well.
Yes, and listening, yes. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you, Arnoldo.
And Tammy tells it like it is, so let's do the B-52s. Tell it like it is.